Thank you very much for the introduction, and I would also like to thank the organizers for the invitation and the opportunity to give this talk. I will speak about entangling theoretical proposal to implement entangling operations on atomic qubits using basic elements of cavity qubiting. So nothing related really to GR. And this work was done in the group of Gernot Albert in the, and together with Scholl Bernat in the Technical University of Darmstadt. So this is an outline of my talk. First of all, I will give a brief motivation and introduction. Then I will tell you about the proposal of the cavity QT implementation. Then I will explain you how we are intending to implement this in entanglement verification protocol. And then if I have time, I will also tell you about how these ideas can also be implemented for a probabilistic but complete well measurement. So first the motivation and introduction. And well, the real motivation is that we are working in together with in the QCOM project, which is a German project leading dealing with quantum repeaters. So the idea is to at some point being able to implement a quantum repeater. And in this line, there are actually several architectures that are competing for as candidates to be the real quantum repeater. One of them is the so-called hybrid quantum repeater, which uses atoms as qubits and is assisted by multiphotonic state, a coherent state. So this was proposed by Peter van Loock in 2006. And it makes use of the interaction with, of coherent state between atoms and with atoms. And we are focusing here on what is required in the nodes of the repeater. So the two-qubit quantum operations that are required in the nodes of the repeater in order to implement entangled purification, entanglement swapping, and quantum teleportation. So the problem we get stated in this way. So the idea is that we just have two initial qubits that are, can be uncorrelated, and they are sent to interact with certain arrangement of cavities or whatever, and in the end of the day, they come out in certain entangled state. It doesn't have to be necessarily this Bell state, it may, might be another one, but the important thing is that in the end, you get an entangled state. And as I said, we aim to implement this with a basic cavity QED implementation, and but what can we actually do with this type of operation? As I said, one of the things that we are aiming for is the entanglement purification protocol. This is required in, for the nodes of the repeaters. And in the quantum purification protocol, can we can understand it like this. Think about that there are two parties, let's say Alice and Bob, and they share two entangled pairs. And by applying local operation on each side, Alice here and Bob there, they can trade two entangled qubits with low fidelity with respect to certain Bell state to another, just one pair with a fidelity F prime, which is higher than the previous fidelity. Thereby, by iterating this procedure, in the end of the day, you can get an entangled state which has ideally fidelity close to one with respect to an entangled, maximally entangled state. So, and of course, the important part here is that all these operations are being performed locally here, and the most, being the most important part of this operation, this two qubit or entangling operation between the atoms. So, also if you do a little bit more of effort, you can use this operation in order to implement a Bell measurement. If you, you can do that, you can perform entanglement swapping, for instance, which is very useful for in order to increase the distance between entangled pairs. For instance, you enter with these two pairs, which are entangled, and the inner ones are at the same position. This can be separated far away. And by operating here, you can now make that swap the entanglement so that the outer ones get entangled. Thereby, if they, if these are separate far away, you increase or you can even double the distance of the entanglement. And another of the things that you can do with this is also quantum teleportation. Many of you should be familiar with this. You just take an atom in a state psi A, and by applying local operation, you can send the state of the atom A to a distant atom B. Sorry, distant atom C. Now, let me tell you how we aim to implement this, or what is our proposal. So possible scenarios for this would be like the experimental setting of Dieter Meschede in the University of Bonn. He has a magneto-optical trap, and he can extract atoms on demand and transport them coherently and put them inside in an optical resonator. Yes?
In the previous slide,
yes.
A, B, and so on are operators or states of the qubit or what?
These are just labels. I'm labeling here the qubit A, so state vector psi of A.
So what is psi of dA?
Psi.
These are two
this
qubits?
Is labeling two qubits, for instance. This is qubit D and A, qubit B and C.
This is so. The entanglement there, the initial entanglement was what between DA and BC.
The initial entanglement is between these two qubits. Well, these two parties, D and A, and between these two, B and C.
So initially there was some entangled state of DA times entangled state of BC.
Yeah. Yes. So think about that. This is a pair. These two are here at the Perimeter Institute. This is, I don't know, in Halifax, and this is in Vancouver. And then you apply certain operations here, and then you can increase the. Okay, then, yeah, this is one of the attractive possible scenarios where you can transport atoms in the resonator. And by letting the atoms interact with the resonator, you can create correlation between them. Another possible setting is the experiments done by Serge Haroche in Paris, and where atoms are taken from an oven and let them interact in a microwave resonator. Of course, this would be probably only to test that everything is working out, because of course in this setting there is more control of the atoms. And if we are doing this, then we have the possibility, for instance, to let the atoms interact separately with an optical resonator. So think about in the experimental settings that I showed you before, that first you have the atom, an atom, say A, that enters to interact with a resonator prepared, let's say, in a coherent state alpha, and then it leaves the cavity, and afterwards comes the atom B, and interacts with the field that was left by atom A. Mm-hmm. After atom B comes out, there is a correlated state between the three parties, and then after performing certain measurement on the field inside the cavity, you can post-select the atoms in certain entangled state. And here, well, the nice thing about this simple picture is that the model is well known. It goes by the James Cummings model. Solutions to this model are also very well known. And you can see that the evolution operator of the time-dependent state vector can be written by the product of the two evolution, the separate evolution operator times the initial state. This is an arbitrary state of the atoms, and we are taking the cavity prepared in a coherent state. Another possibility is to have a combined atomic interaction with the resonator. So you send the atoms to interact simultaneously with the resonator. This model has also been studied widely, and it's easy to obtain solutions and investigate these solutions. And one of the special features about this model is that actually, this state, which is a Bell state time of the atoms time a Fock state in the cavity, is an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian with eigenvalue 0. So therefore, it's an invariant state of the system. So it always remains stationary under the time evolution. So now we concentrate ourselves in the limit of high mean photon number in the resonator, because in this case it's quite easy to come up with handleable equations for the state vector. So actually one can show that the time-dependent state vector can be written in terms of these three product states, which involve three different coherent states. So this is the initial coherent state, alpha, and these are all the coherent states that are rotating in phase space. Each coherent state is correlated with certain atomic state, and which are written here. And it can be shown that actually these two states are always product states, always separable states. So there is no entanglement in this state. But interestingly, the state which has entanglement or is potentially entangled is this one. And it's always multiplying the initial state alpha. So I have written these states in terms of the Bell states, and this is some kind of modified Bell state, which depends also on the phase of the initial coherent state in the cavity.
So are you going to show now the swap operation?
No, I'm showing an operation which entangles the qubit that later on can be used with a little bit more effort. You can use it to perform entanglement swapping. So this is not the swapping. First of all,
here you explain how to prepare two entangled qubits.
Yes. So how to make a relation of correlated qubits? Yes.
But the next step would be to have two such systems, and then do this swap.
Yes.
So and you're not explaining this.
No, I'm not. I'm focusing on this part, because what you really need to solve is the implementation of the two qubit gate. So if you have the two qubit gate, then with a little bit more effort, because actually what you need is a Bell measurement, ideally, then you can use the entanglement swapping protocol, old quantum teleportation as well. So here I'm just focusing on showing you how to implement the two qubit gate. So the idea is to discriminate this state from these other two, but if we choose the interaction time properly, we can see that the overlap between this coherent state is proportional to this Gaussian, so it vanishes for appropriate values of the interaction time. So and how we discriminate between these two states, or how we post-select the field state on alpha, thereby post-selecting the states, the atoms in the state psi star. Well, our proposal is to perform a valence homodyne detection of the field state. Here I'm presenting you the Wigner function of the state in the cavity. We see that there are three main contribution and interference fringes between them. These correspond to the initial coherent state, and these are the other field states, which in this case we took interaction times longer when the coherent state approximation is not valid anymore, but nevertheless, they follow the same trajectory as the coherent states that I showed you before. So now the idea is to take to measure the field inside of the resonator, combine it with a local oscillator, and in a 50-50 beam splitter, and then record the number of photons that arrive at these two detectors. And it can be shown that that if you take the difference between these two detectors, the number operator of the difference is equal to quadratures in phase space. So for instance, if you take the phase here equal to zero, you would be measuring position, projecting on position eigenstates. If you would take the angle pi over equal to pi over 2, you would be measuring projecting onto momentum eigenstates. So by restricting the outcome of your measurement only to results that come from this region, you can be sure that you are projecting your states in some momentum eigenstate close to this that has vanishing overlap with this other two contribution. So you are only picking up something that has to be with this initial coherent state, and thereby you post-select the atoms in the potentially entangled state. So this is again what I was telling you. So the idea is just to restrict the outcomes to this part. So and then you have an operator in the atoms. You have an operator M, which it turns out to be a rank 2 projector that involves these two Bell states. And the outcome of the other parts are actually projectors onto separable state. So we are not interested in this part. So we are only interested in what comes from this part of the detection. So this shows how to implement the entangling operation. And now we implement this in an entanglement purification protocol based on the purification protocol proposed by Deutsch and collaborators in 1996. So in their scheme, they used the CNOT gate. In this scheme, we are using this rank 2 projector that I showed you before. So it's the same. The Alice and Bob share two pairs. They perform local operations on each side. They perform measurement. And in the end of the day, they get an entangled state with higher degree of fidelity with respect to a maximally entangled state. And here I'm showing you how it performs the protocol for initial states of this form. Let's suppose that you have an incoherent superposition of these two Bell states, which is not a maximally entangled state, and you would like to have the state in psi minus. So if you apply the purification protocol, it can be shown that what happens is that you are getting a fidelity f prime that depends in this way on the input fidelity. So, and you can see that this is a convex function, and then thereby if every time that you are iterating, you are always approaching to the unit fidelity. So, and as I told you that this was relying on the coherent state approximation, we also run a numerical simulation in order to check this. And this is showing the obtained fidelity after n successful iteration of the protocol for different values of the mean photon number inside the resonator, and the crosses in cyan are showing the ideal protocol. So you can see that as you increase the mean photon number, you get closer and closer to the ideal protocol. And to make it also closer to the experiment, or to the experimental condition, we also took into account the cavity decay rate using a Lindblad master equation description. And this also shows in cyan the ideal approach. And you see that as you approach the good cavity limit, you also approach to the ideal implementation. And one of the interesting things about the protocol that we are proposing with the use of this quantum operation is that it's easy to study the map between input density matrix and output density matrix. It turns out that in the Bell basis, so these entries are written represented in the Bell basis, which is written here. After one iteration of the purification protocol, you always get a next state. So several of the entries are zero. And this makes easier to study what is going on. And here, of course, the diagonal elements represent fidelities with respect to the Bell states. And we found out conditions, the necessary conditions that you require in order to achieve purification to a Bell state. The condition is written here for the fidelities with respect of these two Bell states. They have to fulfill this inequality. There are also similar conditions for row 1 and row 3. In the literature, it's known that Or it's always commented that you require a fidelity larger than 0.5 with respect to a Bell state in order to be able to purify. Well, this shows that actually this is not really a necessary condition. If you take the arbitrary density matrix, you can relax this condition. So in the case when you have Bell diagonal input, this is zero, and the condition that I just told you of any fidelity with respect to Bell state larger than 0.5 is contained in here. But if, because this becomes negative whenever, either if rho 2 or rho 1 is larger than 0.5. But if you have off diagonal elements, you don't require this number to be negative. So you can have actually fidelities lower than 0.5, and you can actually purify. So this is an interesting result. And just to show, let me show you an example of what kind of states can you purify with this protocol. And this is an incoherent superposition of a Bell state psi minus plus this separable state given here and written in the Bell basis. It's written in the Bell basis, but it's separable. So the condition that I just showed you before translate in this expression. So 1 minus 2f has to be smaller than 1. And it turns out that this is always true for any value of f different from 0. So this means that you can always purify this state, no matter how small the fidelity is. And it turns out that this state, if f is smaller than 0.5, doesn't have fidelity larger than 0.5 with respect to any maximally entangled state, not only Bell state, but to any maximally entangled state. And furthermore, this protocol is able to purify this state in just one step of the purification protocol. So, and this is also valid for any value of f, so f could be infinitesimally small. So the catch here is, of course, that the success probability for this event is quite small. So it goes as f squared divided by 2. Yeah, and then here I just want to discuss briefly or tell you briefly about how to implement a Bell measurement, probabilistic Bell measurement. And it turns out that if you repeat the procedure, if you take, instead of just one cavity interaction, you take two cavity interaction, but in the second cavity, you defaced your initial coherent state by pi over 2 with respect to the first one, then it turns out that the resulting operation is a projection onto a Bell state. But this is just a projection, so this is not on a Bell state, and there are actually four. So the question that the natural question is it possible to project onto the four Bell states? And the answer is yes, if you can project onto coherent states. And here I'm showing you the Wigner function of the field in the first cavity and on the second cavity. And as you see, this corresponds to the initial coherent state on the first cavity and this to the initial coherent state in the second cavity, which are defaced by pi over 2. And there are four possible projections that you can make. You could project here and in the second cavity here. This will give you a Bell state. But there are four possible projections that you can do, and each one of them is going to give you a Bell state. So unfortunately, we have this factor here in all other Bell state, and this is because the states which lie on the opposite side in phase space are actually not coherent state. And projecting onto them is not, you cannot project them onto them perfectly. So this is where this factor comes from and is given here. But anyway, all of these probabilities are proportional to the initial probability of each of the Bell states. So it's actually projecting, it's actually a projection on the Bell states. So this brings me to the end of my talk. And just to summarize, I showed you how to implement an atomic two-qubit operation with ancillary multiphoton states. And then I showed you how we to implement it and showed you the basic features of an entanglement purification protocol using this operation. And I showed you also that using similar ideas, complete probabilistic but complete Bell measurement can also be applied. The more information is in these references, and thank you for your attention.
Do you envision this as more for quantum computing or for beyond it, just a nice experiment? Do you envision this as a technology too for some for quantum computing or not?
For quantum computing?
Yeah.
I envision this more like for quantum communication.
Okay.
So could also be implemented for quantum computing probably, but the problem here is that the operation is that we have is not a unitary operation, and most of the quantum computation protocols require unitary gates. So this is something that we don't have. This we have non-unitary. We have a rank 2 projector, so which is enough in order to perform quantum communication, but probably not for quantum computation.
What about 3-qubit states?
3-qubit states?
Yeah.
We haven't thought about it, but it's definitely a possibility. You mean like letting 3-qubits interact with
yeah, right to, and, I don't know,
to like
DSS.
Yeah, we haven't looked at it, but it's definitely a possibility. And,
I'm not sure whether I caught everything, but it seems that you're not looking at all at the phononic modes of
No.
You think you can basically just cool them away, or how would you handle that?
Well, the idea is that they are, well, we are appealing to this proposal in the so that you can transport the atoms coherently in this dipole trap. So, and so the motion is actually not an issue. Yes.
Alex, thank you.